the topic I picked for multiple reasons. One, because the Sarbat Tevis is this week, which is the element of Churban, so the avoida is to be mitzapah to move to the world of Gula from the world of Churban. That's one. We have Chazal touch on the concept of Gula. Yaakov didn't want to megala the case, wanted to reveal the case to the Shvatim. It was taken away from him. The Pesukim Meram is about Yehuda Shiloh, which is referring to that Akiyavoshilo, right, such concepts, etc. So there are ideas of elements of Gula which are in the Parsha. And then I'm just thinking about what's happening in the world. There's the increase of anti-Semitism, which I think we touched on a little bit a few weeks ago, but a different lakuta. I think it's a message about Gula. And Iran is always available to create some element of concern for us. So, which is not a bad idea to think about Gula in those terms. Okay, so the Rambam in the Yud Gimel Ikrim, so the 12th Ikr, the language over here, it's the language on Imam and the language we say on Imam, that was not written by the Rambam. The language underneath was the Rambam in the Pirshat Mishnayos in the beginning of Perek Chelek, which in the Mishnayos is the 10th Perek in Sanhedrin, and the Gemara is the 11th Perek. Mishnayos is the 10th Perek. So the Rambam there goes through what he feels are the 13 Ikrim of Amunah in the Torah. So Yemos HaMashiach. So the 12th Ikr is Yemos HaMashiach. He has to believe and to know the truth is that Mashiach is going to come. And do not think that due to the fact that he's been tarrying that we shouldn't wait for him. The pasuk says, even if he's going to tarry, we have to anticipate, we have to wait him. We do not spend time trying to figure out exactly when it's going to happen. Those people who will spend time trying to calculate when the case is going to come, their soul should explode. That's a very nice lashon, right? The Rambam says, in one of his igros, because they're usually wrong, and all they do is they undermine people's belief in them. You get this big rabbi says it's going to happen, you know, and it doesn't happen, so people lose their belief. V'shayam and sheyeh lo yisro numala v'kavod al kol ha'malachim shayol me'olam. Part of the Munah and Mashiach is we have to believe that he's going to be, his kingship is going to be more exalted than any other one which ever existed. From Moshe until Malachi, which is the last Navi, they all spoke about elements of Mashiach. Mashiach is topic by a person who doubts the idea that Mashiach should come. Or should he smite Etzlo Malosa, or he believes Mashiach is going to come, he does not think it's going to be such an extraordinary type of event. Kafar Batar, he's denying the words of the Torah. Sheyid with Batar, Beferish, Parshas Bilam, Parshas Atemnet Zavim. Okay? So, there's an Amunah, which is of believing Mashiach is going to come, and he's going to be extraordinary. The Rambam adds another element here in Shoftim, in the Hilchos Malachim Perek Yud Aleph. We talked about Mashiach. Yud Aleph, we may talk about Mashiach. So it's fairly parallel. But he adds a point over here. Melech Mashiach also lamed lahatz Malchus based. He's going to do a few things. Malchus David leYoshna the Memshala Rishana. He's going to reinstate Malchus Beis David. He's going to rebuild the Beis Hamikdash. He's going to gather the Jews in. The ingathering of the Jews. That's three. The way that Klai Yisrael is led will be based on Dinei HaTorah. This number four, makimer karbanos, vayisin shmita mayavus kechol mitzvah samoras patara. So the six things that the Rambam mentions. V'chol mishena ma'amin by a person who does not believe in Mashiach, or mishena machakel b'yasa, a person who does not await his arrival. Lo b'shar neviim b'vat who kar for ela b'tara umar shabenu. So a person believes Mashiach to come, he doesn't anticipate, doesn't await Mashiach, the Rambam puts him in the status of a kafir. That's not a very good place to be. Okay? And then, so that's an element which the Rambam, in the language of the Pirush Mishnayos, said you should wait for him. He didn't make that part of the definition of the kfirah. But here he says that this is going to be, that a person that does not await Mashiach, there's an element of kfirah involved in that. So that's an important point to understand. Like, so why it's, I understand, like, all of the other elements of Emunah, you don't have such a concept. One point. Second point, which I didn't start getting involved in all of the Marma comments on it, but so the Sefer Ikrim comes along and says, you know, these 13 the Rambam lists, he finds them difficult. Why these 13? The Akedah has six, and some of the ones that Akedah has, the Rambam doesn't have, etc. Like, why? Who said there's a concept of an Ikr B'chlal? Some he brings in some Rishonim disagree on the whole concept of an Ikr. Like the Rambam himself, in when he talks about the Ikr of Emunah in the Torah, that the Ikr number eight, right? He says that we have to believe that every word of the Torah came to us from Shemayim. So you have to believe in every word of the Torah. So everything is an Ikr. Everything is the word of Hashem. So what the Medrash says that you know, the Torah did not say the importance, the value of one mitzvah over another, because this way we're going to focus on the these things and not the those things. You know, so who gave me a right to come along and say this is an Ikr? Means this is an Ikr versus a Tuffel. Like that's not a good lashon, right? That, you know. So Shabbos, you know, that's a Tuffel. You know, like outside, you know, like. So what does Rambam mean by an Ikr? Furthermore, like, if you want to define the Ikrim, so the Ikrim, the Sefer Ikrim from has three. And the three are not so different than the Rambam. I'll explain why. He says, number one, we have to have the Munah that there's a creator, that there's a master of the world. There's Hashem. Number two, we have to believe that he's communicated his will to us. And number three, we have to know that there's reward and punishment. That's how he says the three Ikrim are. Now the truth is, the Rambam basically took those and just expanded them. The first five Ikrim, the Rambam sees them as elements of understanding of what Hashem is. The next four are the elements of understanding that Hashem gave us. We have to believe in prophecy. Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy was unique. That the Rosh gave us a Torah through Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Torah is not going to change. So that's basically the ideas of the Ikrim. Okay, so that's so number 10 and number 11. The Rosh knows, and the Rosh rewards. So far, the three of the Ikrim, the Rambam is paralleled in his 11. If we would stop there, we should be good. We have them. There's the 12th one we believe in Mashiach, and the 13th one we believe in Tchias HaMeisim. So that's not very clear why those are even an Ikr. What exactly defines something as an Ikr? There's a fascinating word that they you know, quote from Reb Chaim Brisker. Reb Chaim Brisker says, "What makes something an Ikr versus not an Ikr?" So we have a concept of Tinnik Shenishma. Kind of, you know, a person like, you know, we have no time. You know, he didn't know better. We call it in Yiddish a Nebuch. Right, it's not his fault. Nebuch. So Reb Chaim said that these Yud-Gimel Ikrim, the Rambam are defining, are the elements of what it means to be part of Yiddishkeit. So let's say a person doesn't know them; it's not due to no fault of his own. So we have the tainas in him. He's Nebuch, but he's still an apikaris. He's still not part of Yiddishkeit. He's not within the realm of Yiddishkeit. So these 13 things are going to define what it means to be part of Torah. If you don't have these, you don't have Torah. So you don't believe in a creator and the different manifestation of what it means to be a creator, a master. So I have antennas on you. You're not aware, okay? You know, but you're still not in, you're not within the pale. You don't believe in the Torah. So he never heard of Torah. He grew up on an island, never heard of Torah. Okay, but I'm sorry, but you're not part of Yiddishkeit. But then again, we have the same problem. So tell me that we understand that our actions have to have value. The Kadosh Baruch Hu cares about what we do, and they have value. You know what? That's part of the relationship. Without that, the relationship doesn't go. Why is Mashiach so important? And why is Mashiach important that you have to wait to him? It's so important they have to know that he's going to be extraordinary and unique beyond any other king which ever existed. Like, why is it so important? All right, so that's still not clear. But that's sort of the Chaim Brisker's definition of what an Iker is. So the question really is a very powerful question. So Rabbi Yaakov Weinberg Zatzal gave a series of shurim on his favorite sefer was Rambam. He was into Rambam a lot, and he gave a series of shurim on the ikrim. And when he spoke about the ikr, the 12th ikr of Mashiach, he added another question. Now, Mashiach is going to be experienced by the people who are alive when Mashiach comes. What are the people who are not alive when Mashiach comes? So there's something called Tchias HaMeisim. It's clear from many, many of the classical sources, Tchias HaMeisim takes place much later in the future, after Mashiach comes. So the experience of experiencing Mashiach, whatever that means, etc., that's going to be limited to the people who are alive at that point in time. Okay? So Mashiach is so important, if we want to argue that, over the generations, There's 15 million Jews alive now, right? Over the generations, there's hundreds of millions of Jews. None of them are going to see Mashiach, except for, hopefully us 15, right? Right? So, how does it work? So, in a classical good Shikul Gemara, the Kash is the Teretz, right? He says the following. He says, we must assume then that the issue of Mashiach is not on an individual level, it's on the national level. And there's a fascinating Gemara, the main place the Gemara talks about it is in Hurrius, it comes up in other places also. There's a concept of Tzibur Loi Meis. There's a concept that the Zalach of Chatash Meis Abalel is the animal has to die. A Chatash belongs to Tzibur, that's not shy such a concept, because Tzibur Loi Meis. The same way in the Moshe that is always used is the same way when a person's body, right? People's cells are dying all the time. Right? The body that we see that I see now and I see 3 months from now, it's not the same body. Every single one of the cells has died and replaced by a new cell. But he still looks like Reuven. So the individuals which are in the trillion plus cells which are inside the body change, that's irrelevant. But the being is still the same. Klai Yisrael as a unit is Klai Yisrael. The people who come and go do not change the reality called Klai Yisrael. And Mashiach is relevant for Klai Yisrael as Klai Yisrael. And therefore the fact that some people will never see Mashiach is irrelevant. That's not the point. So Klai Yisrael is described by the Navi as going to be the Or La'amim. It's described in the Navi, they're going to be that the Chayin Yebar Har Hashem, and all the nations are going to come and stream to it. Klai Yisrael is given a role and purpose in the Bria, and that's the purpose of the whole Nesilat Torah, was that Klai Yisrael shouldn't take be the ones who serve as the vehicle for Kvod Hashem. The final fulfillment of that's going to be when Mashiach comes. So if we don't understand what our purpose is, we're back to Nebuchadnezzar's. As Chaim Brisker called it. I have no tannas in you, but you don't understand what it means to be a Jew. So if we understand that the purpose of Rosh created the relationship with us, that we're going to be the vehicle to be the ones who are going to bring the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the Bria, that is the whole purpose why we exist. So we have to, and therefore when that happens, we have to understand that it has to be the extraordinary event in the history of mankind. Because if it isn't, we miss the point. So you have to understand that what Mashiach is going to represent to the world is going to be something extraordinary beyond what anybody ever represented to the world. Because the whole point is that Mashiach, Klal Yisrael reaching the Geula, is the Klal Yisrael being the vehicle bringing the true covenant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the Bria, which will be seen through what Klal Yisrael is then at that point in time. So that Malchus is like nothing ever, which ever existed. They say, that the Kol Malchi Mizrach Umara were going to come the same way by in Parshas Vayechi, that when Yaakovino came, so that all of the kings came and hung their crowns around the Aron of Yaakovino. That so Shimon Mashiach comes, all of the Malchi Mizrach Umara were going to come and put their crowns in front of Malchi Mashiach. So as a matter of like that. So they say that one of the czars asked one of the chachamim in his generation, "What if I say no? What happens if I say no?" So he said, "Then he's not Mashiach." When Mashiach comes, you're going to want to do it. So there's no sense in saying no. It's going to be so obvious what he is and where what you are that's what you will do. And if that's not the relationship, that's what happens. He ain't Mashiach. That's an awesome answer. Right? The point the Rambam is saying is that we have to be maimon b'malosoi. And the Pesukim describe that he's going to be a person of Haricha b'Yiras Hashem. According to one shot, the reason why they killed Ben Kaziva is because he wasn't Marach V'Doyen. Because also Mashiach will have such a clarity of understanding that by smelling he can see what emes and sheker is. So they tested Bar Kochba and he couldn't do that, so he's not Mashiach. So he's a liar, so they killed him. Right? Like, he's such an extraordinary person that... So what does that mean? That means that the Bershom is able to put through the Torah and through the relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, a man that walks on the face of this earth who's so extraordinary. So now you know what it means to be... what it means to have a Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence upon you. So now you know what mankind is supposed to look like. Now you know what it means, Kvod Hashem. You get the point. You get the idea. So but the Rambam then says, as a Kadosh, if we truly understand that that's what we're here for, so we're always going to always be awaiting that. What do you mean? You know what? In here, you're not. Meanwhile, let's have a good time. I can't do that. I see my whole purpose, function, and raison d'etre of my existence is to be a vehicle to be Kvod Hashem. So, of course, I'm going to anticipate that. And if I'm not anticipating that, the similar dharma that I don't get what it means to be a Jew. I think, Jews, I have, my goals, I have my life, and I keep mitzvahs and I keep Torah, etc. That's very nice, but that's not the point. There's a whole other function that you're missing. So if you're not, we're not grappling with, like the Velt says that they asked one time, they asked the Ger Rebbe, the Chiddush HaRim, it says, that Yimchud Mitzapol or Achakal B'chol Yom She'ovai, right? Mashiach can't come on Shabbos. So he said, Mashiach comes and he asks all the kashas, let's the kasha also. The kasha, it was a cute line, but the kasha is a mistake. I'm not saying that every single day I believe Mashiach is going to come today. I mean, I'm living a life where I'm waiting that it should happen. That's what it means. So, yeah, the days he can't come, but I'm still awaiting him. I'm still anticipating him. I'm still hoping for him. I'm living my life in such a way that I'm not happy. I don't feel fulfilled till that happens. So whether he can come there or not is irrelevant. Whether Mashiach didn't cover all the generations is irrelevant. They lived their lives understanding that the purpose of being the Bereshit put the nation of Christ in the world as a vehicle to bring covenant of Kadosh Baruch Hu to the Bria. And we sat and we anticipated that. That is how they lived their lives. Whether Mashiach came out, it was irrelevant. They lived their lives like that. And that itself is an element of the Kiddush Hashem. That when you live your life and your whole purpose is Kiddush Hashem, that itself is a Kiddush Hashem. Right? That's the point that he's trying to give across. They say there's a famous maysa that the visitor came to Radin, and so you have to picture the letdown. Lahav Avdolov, I had a close friend, mentor in Cleveland, older than me, but he's not alive anymore. And he took a shot in Sir Moshe. Moshe was very short. So, you know, he's pumping the kids the whole time. You know, you're going to see a big guttle, a big guttle, a big guttle, a big guttle. They walk in and they say, Tati, he's not a big guttle. He's a little guttle. It wasn't on the train. Like after the train, you had to take a wagon to get to Radin. Like it was a little shtetl, it was a little, you know, garnished, you know. I once heard from one of the Alta Radners. He said that it was a swampy place. It was always muddy. It was always that. So like, say what's pshat? He says Chazal say that Adam Rishon, they showed Adam Rishon Dor Dor V'Dorshav Dor Dor V'Chachamav Dor Dor V'Seifrav. So they showed Adam Rishon the Chofetz Chaim. I said Ham and Tzadik the Chofetz Chaim. So they said, you know, where is he going to live? And they showed him this little dinky shtetl. Adam Rishon says, really? He was so upset he spat, and that spit made the swamp of rot. You know, that was like, you know, that's what they used to say in shtetl. You know, like it was this little dinky. Who knows what? The Chofetz Chaim had a little rickety house. He had, you know, a few wooden chairs. You know, somebody came to visit him. Somebody asked him, "Where's your furniture?" So Chofetz Chaim says, "Where's your furniture?" He says, "I'm just passing through." He says, "So am I." he didn't live his life that this is what it's about. He lived his life that there's something which is going to happen, Bez Hashem. Whether Mashiach's going to come, hopefully, and Mashiach's going to come, I'm going down the Hamba, but I'm not here. This is not what life is about. So you live your whole life differently. Whether the person who lives his life anticipating Olam Haba doesn't mean he's looking forward to dying that day. Right? But it means he lives his life with a different attitude. So that's what it means to be Mechaka for Mashiach. But that also means that, you know, you live that, you know, if that's the purpose of Klal Yisrael, so any opportunity I have right now, I would like to do that as well. I'm going to take advantage of what's available at this point in time also. I'm not going to, yes, Mashiach is going to be the final fruition of that reality. And everything which happened that will be leading up to that moment. But as much as I can pack in to be a vehicle of Kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu now, I'm like, that's what, if I accept that as my purpose for existence, of course I'm going to live my life like that. So they bring in the next. I told you last week the Maisa with Rabbi Chaim Helfand, you know, with you know, he was in the street in his gatkas, right? Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Like he's a person who lived his life. Mashiach is coming any moment. So when he heard a tumult in the street, he says, "Must be Mashiach's here." So he ran outside. He was in his gatkas. He said, "His gatkas." You know, like, you know. They say there's a mice. I love that mice because I once heard of, years before that, I heard a mice with Yisroel Moshe. So Yisroel Moshe was the Satmar Rebbe's grandfather. He was, Satmar Rebbe was a phenomenal guy. And the Yisroel Moshe was supposed to be like, you know, bigger, you know, 10 times more. Like, you know, he was an extraordinary guy, tzaddik, and a tech. So every year the children used to come. One of his sons, Bechor, was already a rebbe somewhere else, used to come back for Pesach. One year the rains were very heavy and the roads were mud, you know, really bad, and it was difficult to travel by wagon, you know, because you can't go through mud. So they weren't sure if the son's going to make it. So they were like, it was very disappointing. Every year he came, you know, the Bechor, etc. So they put out like the day before Pesach, they put out like, you know, shomrim down the road, you know, let them know if, you know, he's going to come. Kitzer, the day Erev Pesach itself, they come running in. He's here. So the Yisroel Moshe runs outside and he starts crying. He says, "He's not here." Meaning he's here. He said, "Mashiach's not here." The family was anticipating the son. So he's here. When you hear the word "he's here," he's here. The capital H means Mashiach, right? So he's not here. So he just started crying. Went back inside. Your son's here. Oh, yeah. It's nice to see you. You know, like that wasn't right. There's a Maisha with a Moshe that 1 year somebody heard him like an Erev Pesach in the afternoon. At some point he gave like a big sigh. They asked him why. He says, "I was hoping to bring Karim Pesach this year." Sometime in the afternoon, it was like too late for Mashiach to come. It was like, just sigh. But the Maaseh Rechem Helm was a balabaz. Like I like that Maaseh. You know, so this Yisrael Moshe, Moshe Feinstein, you know, Shkoyach, you know, and Nassim Vatogel, you know, traveled around. He always had a suitcase with him. A little suitcase. It was clothing to greet Mashiach. Like, you know, Mashiach's going to come, and you're going to go in your plumbing clothes. Like, you know. There was a fellow in Staten Island. His son learned and tells you that he was a truck driver, like a bona fide truck driver, 18-wheeler. He was sitting close to the Moshe, very close to the Moshe. Like, you know, every summer when they would go up to the mountains, he would pack up the yeshiva and take all the stuff, and you know, right? But when he came to the Moshe, he changed from his clothes that he wore when he was driving the truck. He wasn't wearing his white shirt when he was driving his truck. You know, right? You greet the Moshe, you walk in, you know. Right? So Mashiach's going to come. You're not going to greet him and like, you know, you're going to. He's greet the Melech. You this dress for occasion. So he had clothing with him, you know, because like he might come, right? You know, Judd said about the video by the, you know, the first thing goes into the suitcase, you know, is the Gemara. The second thing is the suit for Mashiach. You know, I we don't live like that, right? But this mindset that, you know, so see, tell me that, you know, Reb Nosson Fachtweigel, you know, was trying the Sadik, you know. This is a balabas. He was a businessman. He was a storekeeper, you know. Right. But when he heard Tumas the street, it means Mashiach. What else could it mean? Like, it was a different type of life. So he brings over here Maisa from the Simcha Binum Alta from the Gur, from the Ger Rebbe. That he says, when my basis Yashal Abi Kwait Kedisha Sohadmar Baal Himri Emes, Nasiya Gedoyla Rishona, which was in Vienna, Shemati Chavetz Chaim Zatzel Pona Elo Vederach. So the Chavetz Chaim turned to him, they were going together at some point. Amar Shano Omer Bekedusha Ki Mechakim Anatoloch. Him be Emes Kachu Hamatzev, him be Emes Ono Mechakim. Hello, circle hargish khosr li shtake lekach. Khabas khaim her mes kapis yod of mala because of the shela ams hom the mahakim. Are we really waiting? Right. So the reason why the Chavetz Chaim introduced the limit of kachim. The kachim was nobody was learning. I mean, very, very few people were learning kachim. I mean, there was the Gaon Olam were learning Kol HaTikul, you learn kachim also, but there was very few swarm in kachim. Kachim was very hard to learn. You learn Noshim, the Zikin, you know, you have the Rashman, Ritva, you know, you have the Ramban, you have the Tosfos of Rosh, and you have the Pnei Yeshua and Rekiv Eggers. There's no Rekiv Eggers, Kamat and Kachim. There's no Rashba. There's a Rashba and Menachos, you know, which is assuming is the Rashba. There's no Ritva, there's no Ramban, there's no Tosfos of Rosh, there's no Pnei Yeshua, you know, like. It was very hard. The chalupa gersos weren't worked out so well. You learn krisis amila. You got in your mind. You know, like, you know, this gersa, that gersa, back, forth. You know, what's the right gersa? Is Rashi like this? Back, this is a gersa, that gersa, this is that gersa, this. You know, if there were Rashi, which mahal Rashi is going in? It was very hard. He says, I understand. Mashiach's going to come tomorrow. We have 3 makor kabbanos. What are we going to do? So he wrote up a kuntras about the chiyah to learn kachim, and he established a karlo to learn kachim in Radin for the mevugarim, that they know that they should learn kachim, and that's how we introduced the musik of learning kachim in Klal Yisrael in the recent years. The people think that it's a brisker than maisa, you know, They're not into Musher and Brisk. It's from the Chavetz Chaim, the Baal Musher. That's why we're learning Kashim. And he made a Kashim Karlo. You know, so, but you know, he said, you know, let's talk Tachlis. If you really are expecting, so how would you look at that? If it's true that really, if we really are anticipating, really are expecting, really are hoping, how would we live our lives? What would we do? So, so I just want to read you a few pieces over here. So the first one is from the Pelagites, which I actually read this week in Shul, in the Chamar one day. Okay. So Sefer Pelagites, I mean, Rosenblum speaks about it once in a while. The Sefer is, I mean, the Pelagites doesn't need my Haskama. Because it's alphabetical, it goes by alphabet, by the alphabet, and then he takes like different topics in each letter, and he talks about them, and, you know, says, you know, some point he wants to share about it, etc. So he goes through everything, you know. By the time the ice before this is the word bas. He talks about what it means to raise a daughter, what the importance of having a daughter is, you know. He talks about bias. What does it mean to have a bias? He talks about being bottle. He talks about, you know, ben. It's not just, you know, it has elements of halacha, elements of hashkafa, musar, etc. He talks about galus. You know, later on one of the letters, he talks about galus. He talks about gaiva. He talks about, you know, you name it, he talks about it. Gul tiyalon b'meheri yemenu amein. Kein tzarach lahamin v'emun ashlema v'zemi kridas. We have to believe the Mashiach is going to come soon. V'yachad min ha'shelosh ha'shalom v'yamadin sipis al yeshua. We ask, the Mor says in Shabbos, that we are asked, the Yom HaDin, the Morse, were asked 6 questions. Right? Yeshua is referring to Tzipis Yeshua. Did you anticipate? Did you await the Yeshua? I'm going to talk about that later on under the entry of Tzipur. Whatever you're talking about, something that's going to happen in the future, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yatzmiach Karen Yeshua Mikadam. The Russian should bring Mashiach before that. That's part of how you talk. It becomes part of your nusach, part of your way, part of your speech. And if that's in Maisa. There is a woman in Cleveland, a really, really firm woman, like very, very careful in halacha, etc. So she used to go visit the people in the nursing home, very nice, etc. She was concerned about the cleanliness there, because only people sometimes is not so clean, etc. She would never say Hashem's name there, because, you know, you can't say Hashem's name in presence where there's the bad smells, etc. You know, never. That's the reality sometimes you have in the nursing home. That's the reality. So she was mocked by Al-Tzalacha. But a woman says, you know, you never mentioned God's name. Like, what's wrong with you? Why are you talking about God? And you ever, like, you know, like boom, you know. Now, I can't talk about Hashem, right? So we introduced, Rabbi Yehuda Miller Zatzal said it in his way, and this is a quote, I would never have the audacity to say such a phrase. He says, people think that the word Lord is a four-letter word. Like, whoa. Right? You know, we never talk about it. Right? Right? So, we introduce that into our language. We say, Baruch Hashem, Yimirta Hashem, Vezes Hashem. You know, we try to introduce that nusa. We talk, Hashem should be real to us. So we put these words into our language that they should help us make it real. Now, obviously, you can't become, rote doesn't help. One of my guys in yeshiva had a great story. He came back from Ben Osman, and he says he was in a store in a, you know, from the neighborhood, and he sees a sign on the store. It says Mem Hey, back in 20 minutes. And he couldn't remember, what does Mem Hey stand for? Mirtz Hashem. Im Yirtz Hashem, if Hashem wills, right? Im Yirtz Hashem, right? So it's Aleph Hey, Aleph Yud Hey. But man, hey, you lost it, buddy. Yeah, what do you say? You know, Mirtashem. Like, you know, like, the guy was laughing. And like, it's, you know, it's like, it's sad, you know. So you say, you know, Mashiach, you know, you're talking about, you know, we'll do something, you know. Right? Hopefully Mashiach will be here before that. That becomes part of the language. So that's one point. The second point, he says, a very powerful point. David heard this Shmuz on Tuesday. You're not settling here in the Chutz Laaretz. You're not settling down. You've been with building these beautiful palaces in the Chutz Laaretz. I don't understand. You're leaving tomorrow. Like, what are you building such a fancy house for? You're not gonna make a fancy house here in outside of Eretz Yisrael. Rosh Hashanah has a tshuva where he talks about building a shul or a base of medrash. Chazal say those are gonna be transported to Eretz Yisrael. So he's like, I don't know, build it nice. You should take it with you. Should pack it nice. You build a rickety, yeshiva. It's not gonna survive the trip. Maybe, you know, right? You know, you gotta build a nice thing. You know, but your house, we're just visitors here. So it doesn't make sense to do such a thing. I tell you a very cute story. It's a little bit of a side, but I just love the sharpness of it. City X. So there's X amount of moises in the city, etc. A new individual comes in from and he wants to open a moises there in the city. And they're concerned that it's going to undermine the finance of other moises. He said, you know what? I understand. In the beginning, I will fundraise outside of the city until it's established, and then we'll start fundraising here. So they said, we would like you to commit to this in a document. It's okay, so they had a meeting that comes in. So the person representing the local moistures suggested that they should sign for the next 3 years, they're not going to fundraise in the city. First 3 years. So the person says, of course I would do that, but you understand, it's not appropriate for a Yid who's a Maim and a Mashiach to sign and make a commitment for 3 years. Mashiach's going to come before that, So the person representing the moistures says, that's a very good point. He rewrote the document. The document now said, from now till Mashiach comes, you won't fundraise in the city. What? I was just like, oh, that's awesome. Right? So, after Mashiach comes, you can fundraise in the city wherever you want. So, this lacuna of these houses. So, I just want to, I'm sorry for belaboring the point a little bit. So that's the Pelayites. The next is in the Shlach Kaddish. So he's talking about, this is the end of Seth the Sukkah. He talks about, so the way he has a section in the Shlach where he goes through what he calls different Masechtas, which is actually Seth the Pesachim. He talks about different Yom Tovim. So each one he has halachas, then he has Kabbalistic concepts, and then he has Musar. So the last part he talks about this. That the part of the message of the sukkah is that we're not making such a dearest kavod, etc. How also the yodi davrizet, but dear Masha Belibi, how you buy your tummy? I want to share with you something which is burning in my heart. You saw burning batim, kamamivsere hasorim, building houses which look like the castles. Oisim dearest kavod b'olam mazeh uberes atzmeit. Settling down in this world, in this land, which is Eretz Tameya. V'afshemar masedo, masedo the tzaddikim shivoyol Eretz Yisrael. So it's even people's private homes of their tzaddikim. Now the Gemara says, but the rejoices does not mention about the tzaddikim, like he puts out in the bottom. But he apparently understands that it includes the about the tzaddikim as well. That's very nice. But the people are building over here are not building because they want to take over their because they want to make sure we have a nice beautiful home which will last for generations, right? We're settling down. We're going to establish ourselves here. Okay, Bonai. If you're going to have tremendous wealth, build houses according to your needs. You have to build something which is respectful. You don't have to build a hovel, right? But Sura Umatziva Yonadav Ben Rechav Levonav Ubayis Lasivnu, that he said we can't build any homes. Ki Ba'olam Teishu, we have to live in tents. If the base Hashem is Chorev, how can we live in a house? We're not holding the dragon to live in tents. But that much it does tell us that building these extraordinary homes way beyond what a person needs. That doesn't make sense. So you have to build what you need. That's it. And you want to build inside an extra room to learn. When I was in San Antonio, Texas, in the year 2000, Shabbos HaGadol, I spoke there Shabbos HaGadol. So the Rebbe, his first name Rabbi Scheinberg, so there's a shul, I think the name of the shul is Red of Sholem, I think, something like that. And they built they bought a whole section near the shul, and they bought the Torah Drive, and they built homes over there. And he built a home for himself over there. So it's like a frum neighborhood, you know, like right next to the shul. It's a nice big house. He has a base medrash in the house where people can sit and learn. There is a Shabbos Suda there. Like, not everybody over there is totally frum, but he sets up that people come with davening, they at least don't go home the rest of the day. So he has every week there's a big Shabbos Suda together. And then afterwards there's shiurim, and there's discussion groups, and there's chess playing, and there's, you know, there's a politic group. Like, but he keeps the crowd there the rest of Shabbos. It's an extraordinary thing. So there in the house, there's a place that they have like chess set up, and people go and play chess. And then there's a base medrash, people sit and learn. And then there's like a group who was sitting somewhere else, and they were schmoozing about politics, you know, right? Somebody showed me there was one of these like satirical news sites that they're giving out now certificates of it on the degree in international affairs. Everybody publishes on the internet all of their attitudes, etc. Because obviously they're experts in international affairs, right? You know, so Jews are always experts in, you know, what was wrong, why it happened, what's going to happen, like, you know, they have it, you know, the Via Sheker, you know. So he had a section of it, but he kept them there. So he built a house which would allow him to do that. So it was a nice big house, but like every part of the house was being used. That he built, he always had a base medrash on the house, a small base medrash on the house. It was awesome. He had svarim there, he had shtenders, he had tables. And you could go sit there and learn. People went there after the Suda. There was like three chavrusas sitting and learning the base medrash afterwards. That's a beautiful home, right? But like, so the guy has the sauna room, and he has the swimming room, and he has the big TV room, and he has the ping pong table room. You know, like, you know, no. Okay, let's up it a little bit. If this wasn't happy until now, okay. So there's something known as the tzibah of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. So Rabbi Yehuda Chassid wrote Sefer Chassidim, which is extraordinary sefer. He also wrote an ethical will with like different things that people should do, and they're very interesting hanhagas. Not clear where he got them from, who's it binding upon, if anybody, etc. So one of them is Islam involved is layivna adam beis avonim. You shouldn't build a house of stone. El yikna, best you should buy one. Vimbana lo yadubai. If you build one, do not live there. Kihu arbina bana yamusu. El yim kirenu. If you live there, you should know that it's going to bring about a death. you should sell it. You should sell it. Okay, that's what he writes. So, some server in Tshuva talks about this. So he brings like this. There's two Bera Hetevs. The one we have printed in the Shulchan Aruch is the second one. The Yeridei, Simrei Kufayin Tesa, which is the lachas of Dark Amari, etc. Yerushem Tzavos Rebihuda Chosa, Shiei Sakona Lebona Bayis Avonim, Begam Lebona Bayis, Bemokam Shalha Yerushem Bayis Melim. The next oys is don't build that new house in a place where there was a house. Use a settled piece of place to build your home. Va'amri Inshi, people say, La'niach Babayis Tarnagol Zachar Nekeva L'shoich Temshah, that the way to take away the sakana is bring a pair, a rooster and a chicken, and shech them in the house, and that solves the problem. So the person who's at, the shayla over here is asking the question. That's mamas. That sounds like one of these like superstitious things, which Chazal said it's an issue of the rice, like weird. Okay. So vani oimer. So the subscriber wants to explain maybe where this comes from. Hakoshim l'dvarim elu. The people who have this idea. Shemar Mishmashal Gaidenzal was to say the name of the Rehudo Chosid. Dimu, they understood like this. Shem Yonichu Shom Zman Ma Zug Tanagarlam Chayim. You put a pair of chickens there, a chicken and a rooster there, and you cry Gever, which the Chazal referred to them as Gever. One of the names for a Tanagarl is a Gever. Sahavale Hagvorim Elu Hadiur Marishan Shabayas. So they become the first dwellers of the home, the first gevorim who lived there. Gever also means a man, right? Wow. So the first gever who lived there was, and gever and geveret were Mr. and Mrs. Chicken. Ubishitosam, hanamisosam, then you shech them. Zekar meisor, the yur marishan shabayis, v'emek pinyan nefesh, balei abayis. Dumas hakapora shenoigim. So that's what they understand. I will tell you as a shlo lochus to dwar ma'elo, kyetzim and mclau, dwar shlo husker b'shas a poiskim, lo b'hura chasid chasim ala, ken mucham im ash chasim atzim, sefer chasidim. It's not clear that it really was from b'hura chasid. These things are new things, no source of them anywhere. Like, you know, it's strange things. You know, it's better just to have an attitude that, you know, don't worry about it. Okay. V'ula. So also b'hura chasid. The boyner buy is avonim. Shlodot tzarich, he has no need for it. Laharkiv loy mishkanos bechutz loritz ulisayish min a geula. That's a statement of that you're planning to stay. So, but because it's a be'elu harei binyanu sakana, that itself is a sakana. Ve'no mitzvah lahogen, it's going to be dangerous. So why are you spreading out to a new place? You know, we gotta settle the land. There's a mitzvah of yeshivas Eretz Yisrael. There's no mitzvah of yeshivas Chutz La'aretz. The idea is avachim echa. We know that the Rambam uses a lashon that an item and its opposite are both really two sides of the same coin. If you understand one, you understand the other. If you understand there's a mitzvah of yeshivas Eretz Yisrael, you understand there's a mitzvah of not yeshivas Chutz La'aretz. More in the end of Erechin. Who would then be hippochutz lords? Keep the trees there. Don't build houses instead. Now, this I will say the following. I will give a caveat. Baruch Agolus ki lo niso oritz l'shevas or son. We pasha don't have a place to live anymore. V'yisbuchu. So then, obviously, if you're looking for a place to build a home, because we need places for Jews to live. Okay, that is mitzvah rabbah nami over the hamsi makam dira lesepazura ayashkev Hashem ayera. The Hashem Kadosh Baruch Hu will have rachmanis and take us back. We need a place to live. That's a mitzvah. The daiti ikah mitzvah k'dei lahag, and that'll touch, that'll protect you. But the person building it just was like, you know, like let's see, you know, this beautiful, nice, spacious area. It's a good idea that I can make a nice big home for myself. You know, it's a sakana. Because remember, see that's what the Rebbe said. Now this is a con. Now you say like this. Learning the pesukim in Yirmiyahu, Yirmiyahu says, "Benu batim v'sheivu u'shvu." Ma'aser shas ba'basuk chavtesam and aluf. Remember, it brings in the context of the sugya of 3 years of a chazaka. The more quotes this idea of he told them to build homes there in Bavel. Near me is that Shobin Egalim and Sabin Yeshua's Hashem be terrifying. So he wants to suggest that why were they building? Because like why are we building? We're going back at any moment. So what are you built for? Why be name Kichet Vav and leave them spots in the entire Krom in Bechutz Lorets. Achenemalem Mir Mio Api Hashem Shain Shuasim and Harris Kadam Ein Shalom. No, no, Rabbeisai, I'm sorry. You're not going back so quickly. Settle down. There's going to be 70 years here. That's part of the Einish. And you need to settle. Dafka needs it. That's part of the Einish. It says, so what to do with marrying off the kids? Like well, it says that Kibbutz Mekami Tekanas Yikbutz Yite in the Bita Kibnoi Eli Mekami Tekanas Benin Dichrin. So, this is a push at the side. He says, you should marry off your sons. So Chazal say that one of the reasons why Chazal made the tekana of Kotsuvas bin Dichrin, because women didn't want to marry the men unless they felt a guarantee that their children would be able to get their ksuva. So, otherwise they weren't interested in getting married. The Chazal said that din that of Ksuvas bin Dichrin, that even if the woman predeceases the husband, if there's multiple wives, her children will get the value of her ksuva first. It's only if there's only in karka, not in the tautla. So when he said, "Buy houses, buy land, build houses," now there's karka, so now they can marry off the kids because the women will be willing to marry them. So that's an aside, but. But from this thought process, so what do we see? They were told to settle down because you're not ready to go back right away because, I'm sorry, you have to stay for 70 years. But Gulaseno Hasida Shenistam Kitsa V'choyoyma Zmana, who, it can happen any moment. So then, Nisparam Yizikneinu Shalom Lidlis Batim L'Nitari Kram. So then the message is, don't. Like they said. We're not going to settle down over here. We don't belong here. I call it leave the shalom the tzurich. It's someone obviously if you're building it, just there's no need. Abu tzurcheinu merubim yishivaseinu mitzur. We have so much need and we have so little place to put ourselves. Golos orach oleinu near dein lahakrit b'kiyot zibizet. So Mishkan Habayis with Torah b'tfilah b'zman maki hi chayenu baruch yemenu b'shem v'hoyezeh shalom. Right, fine. So the fascinating, thought process of the Chazam Sofer. One other thing, the fascinating thing, if you read the Psukim about in Kol's Bavel, it seems to me that they assimilated extremely quickly. They married Noshe Nochriyos, they settled down, they were Miyayish from the Gula. The Psukim in Yechazkel say that, that which you thought that the Russian was Megarish you and you're gone, you're going back, and they push it, took it as a message of we're gone. You see, till Haman came along, there was no anti-Semitism. They were in the king's palace. They were accepted as part of the society. So, over there, once the purpose of anti-Semitism is to tell you that you shouldn't settle in Golos. So what the Chazam Sofer is saying, there was clearly an entity in Klaisa which hadn't settled. There's no need for anti-Semitism. Beis Halevi says that the Pasuk says, Tillim, that in Mitzrayim, originally there was no anti-Semitism to the Jews. And Hofak Libam Lisnoy Amba, the Pasuk says in Tillim. The Russian changed their hearts to hate the Jews. So Chazal say that the Jews started settling down in Mitzrayim and becoming part of the society. Then the Russian made them hate us. So Beis Halevi says on that, the biggest chesed Russia ever did was anti-Semitism. Because it makes us very clear that we don't belong here. We're not going to settle. So, you know, I just like trying to think about everything which is happening. I think that's the message. The message is their message is right. You know, you Jews don't belong here. That's not a bad message. That's a very good message, right? That Russia was sending us. You know, you get to hear it. You have to hear it sometimes a very hard way. It's a tort. It's painful. It's tremendously painful, but that's a clear message to us that it's time to think about, like, we're settling down here too much. Just one last thought. Should I say no less after that? That's besides the point. Rav Elchanan said, when they went to the ninth fort over there, the Mibsar Tchi, in the Kovan, they went to be shot. So he told the Kibbutz of Talmidim, while people were there, that Rav Chaim Volozhin said that the last way station of Torah before Mashiach is America. So Torah has to be established in America before Mashiach is going to come. Which is the same way it happened in Europe, it can happen in America. But we're hoping that through our kabbonis that we give ourselves as a korban, and we do it with purity, it'll be a kapara on our brothers in America that shouldn't happen to happen to them. So we shouldn't have any thoughts of tainus, etc., because that's what makes the korban pickle. That's what Rav Elchanan told them. So, like, there's no guarantee. There was a famous Maisa, which that Ramat Yisrael Solomon spoke in Borough Park, and he said, it could happen here, just like it happened in Europe. It says, one day Borough Park would be Judenrein. When did he say this? He spoke September 10th, 2001, by night. This is the shmuz he said in Borough Park. He was speaking in Borough Park. Scary. You know, like, sometimes you feel like there's like a message, you know. There's a maestro, the Rebbe Kromgas Hatzal. He was the Mashgiach in Yisrael. So he was giving a shmuz about, he was frustrated with the Bachim oversleeping, davening, etc. So another shmuz he said something which was out of character, that he's just like trying to get the message across. He says, I'm making a with a back lashon, he used lashon of shvua, that miyom del daiti, since I was a bacher, and I realized I've never missed zman kriyashma of the first zman of the Magen Avraham, not the second zman, but the first zman. Right then, there was this major crash of lightning in the middle of the shmuz. It was like, ah, the Rishon says yes, you know. The people, I wasn't there, but the people who were there, it was very eerie, you know. Like Ramat Yisrael said that, you know, next day you had September 11th, you know, it was like very eerie. But it's there's no guarantees here in America, right? With all of the place in Europe where the Jews had the most rights and they were most accepted in society was Germany. And that's what the Meshech Chochma says, you know, and Spain, the same thing. You know, and this is how it plays out through Golus. So at least the people who are, you know, the Frum Yidden understand that, you know, the more we understand that we don't belong here and we're just here as a way station, the safer we are while we're here. And the more we think that we belong here, the more the person's going to have to remind us in a difficult way that we don't. So I think the message of being Mitzapa Lagula is an appropriate response. We're looking for an heir to be Mechazik to the situation. I think Tzipisa Lagula is a good place. Yeah. Okay. One last point, totally aside. Just look at the introduction to the Kufa Lamed Tes. It's Rebbe Kivager. Like there's a lashon of the Chassam Sofer, like his awe of Rebbe Kivager. Yisar M'shalom L'noipich Saper V'yalom Yiluk Yisar V'yarom Karnoi Rav Agoyin Agadol Amiti Amafursim Karugas Abaisim Ner Yor. Right? I don't know. I'm sure the other ones stand for even. Right? Kvoid Kedushas Reino Kibager. Right? So eventually some server's wife passed away. His second wife was Rebbe Kivager's daughter. So the person, the Neil Prostitutes, it was the Dayan in Peshburg, read the Shidduch. So he came to Chassam Sofer with the suggestion for the Shidduch. Chassam Sofer said, like, you know, I can't marry Rebbe Kivager's daughter. Like, you know, you're talking about, you know, like the Nazi be Yisrael. Like, I should marry his daughter. Like, I'm like a nobody. He says, so the prophet said back, he says, he already set the suggestion to Kivager. Kivager says, I should take the Chassam Sofer. He says, I don't know, the God will adore him. He says, so you're two Amaratsim. It's a good Shidduch, you know, like, you know. But you see,